This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're streaming live on the free Audacy app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, they're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Time now to open up the entertainment page.
That's right. It's Cakes' entertainment page because EB is out today. It's driven by BMW of Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW of Fairfax. Ask for EB's girl, Miriam, the general manager, or check them out at BMWofFairfax.com. Our former producer, Brett Oliverio, is probably going to spend part of his day listening to the 911 call that has come out that came from workers at Gene Hackman's residence in Santa Fe, New Mexico,
okay,
because they discovered the, this is tilting to me, the mummified remains of both Hackman and his wife, because they came.
Take to become mummified? Like a couple days?
That's a good question.
I saw a detail in one of the stories that said because of the cold, dry air in New Mexico where they live and the fact that a door was open, that it, that would tend to help preserve the bodies better than if the door had been closed and, you know, no air is circulating. So I guess, I mean, they think that those bodies might have been there for up to a week or 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, but, I mean, cold air is only going to do so much when your body starts decomposing, which is going to happen pretty quickly after death.
And why did you reference Brett in 911 calls?
We just found one deceased person inside a house. What's that, sister?
There's no address.
I'm going to wait for you at the gate. I'm going to wait for you to please send somebody really quick.
Because I referenced it because Brett has always had a weird fascination, so especially when he was producing the Junks back in the day, of playing like very like harrowing, awkward 911 calls. It's kind of his thing. So I'm sure.
So this is like that. A gardener or somebody that's there.
Yeah, somebody worked at the house, came upon
the
scene. They
saw the door that was open.
Yeah, they
went
saw there was a body. I think it was the wife's body just laying unresponsive, and they called it in. Authorities come in. They find Hackman dead, the wife dead, one of the dogs dead, two other dogs on the premises alive. So the toxicology reports are going to come back in about a month. So we'll figure out more at that point. But still a lot of questions as to what happened
there. Right, because the original theory was carbon monoxide.
Right, but the utility companies came out and said there's no evidence of a leak. Everything seemed to be fine as far as like the gas in the house.
Well, what if that just kind of all dissipated because the door was open?
Could be the case.
So maybe originally there was a leak.
So that's where the toxicology report, back with huge levels of carbon monoxide, then you're going to know that that was the cause of death. So I don't know. It's just a weird situation that both he at 95 and his wife at 65, both dead.
And the pup, the German Shepherd.
And the dog dead as well.
A little salty about that.
Sad story.
Two of the dogs were alive.
Also, Gene Hackman made it to 95.
Yeah.
That's a really good run.
That's a good run.
Props to him for making it into his mid-90s, which is tough to do.
Did you mention that Hackman's daughter was, I guess she's talked to the media, but I'm not sure how close they were.
I don't think they were that close because I think one of the reports I read said that they didn't speak very often.
Gotcha.
You know, maybe every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we should get more details on that in the coming weeks. JP mentioned this earlier. Katy Perry is going to space. She's going to be on the next Blue Origin rocket launch that is set to blast off this spring. No specific date. Here's who will be on the flight. Gayle King, Katy Perry, Lauren Sanchez, who is Jeff Bezos' girlfriend.
Okay.
Now, they also have some like real like scientists and basically astronauts going along with Katy Perry. They have a former NASA rocket scientist, Aisha Bowe, maybe related to Dwayne Bowe, who used to play wideout for the Chiefs back in the day. Bioastronautics research scientist, Amanda Nguyen. And there's also a movie producer that somehow weaseled her way onto the flight, Carrie Ann Flynn.
Do you think Dwayne Bowe? That's the first Bowe that comes to mind.
The first
over
Bowe.
Riddick.
So, over Riddick.
I mean, Riddick
Bowe.
Riddick Bowe pummels Dwayne Bowe.
No, no, not maybe in your world because you're into boxing.
In everybody's world.
No, you act like Riddick Bowe is a household name.
He's way more famous than Dwayne Bowe.
No, he's not because Dwayne Bowe.
Riddick Bowe was the heavyweight champion of the world.
Dwayne Bowe played in the NFL for several seasons.
Riddick Bowe beat Holyfield.
I mean, I think you're just overestimating how popular Riddick Bowe was at the height of his popularity.
It bothers him. Look how it bothers
him. No, it doesn't bother me that much. But
he's
attacking you. It's ridiculous.
He's attacking you.
I don't think it's that ridiculous.
That he throws out Dwayne Bowe and not Riddick Bowe.
Valdez is Dwayne Bowe.
Dwayne.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
you think he's more famous than Riddick Bowe?
Yes.
Yeah, you're asking my opinion. I'm telling you my opinion is Bowe.
He's like
Dwayne
Bowe. Like he was a Pro Bowl level receiver for a few years in the NFL. To me, that's way more popular than a heavyweight boxing champion. I mean, here's a bulletin, JP. Boxing dead.
Look, now
has been dead for a long time.
Attacking each other now.
Not when he was fighting.
I mean, I'm just firing back.
Hey, boxing's the Gene Hackman of sports. Boxing's mummified, JP.
Yeah.
That may be the case, but not when he was fighting the sillies back then.
Who's more popular, Dwayne Bowe or Riddick Bowe? This is the argument du
jour. Plus, Riddick Bowe is local to some extent.
That's fine. I'm just talking about who was more popular.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
When you said that, my first response was, who's Dwayne Bowe?
What?
Took me a minute.
Really?
Riddick Bowe, household name.
I agree.
I mean, probably because his first name is Riddick, but...
I mean, I would push back against him being a household name.
I had to think about for a second there who Dwayne Bowe was.
Really? Okay. I guess you didn't play fantasy back in like whenever Dwayne Bowe was
like 2005
in the NFL. Like I'm a dinosaur. I've actually been playing fantasy football since 1997. That's how it goes back.
I think I did too.
It goes back a long way.
Remember, I was writing down stats.
That was pre-internet. Like you're getting box scores out of the freaking Washington Post.
Yes.
To try to figure
I did the same thing.
If you want your fantasy matchup.
I did the same
Riddick
thing.
Riddick Bowe beat Evander Holyfield twice, was heavyweight champion of the world. By the way, yeah. Nobody in the world is going to know who Dwayne Bowe is. Sorry.
You've got the United States.
Now the EP is over. It's officially over.
I'm Team Cakes.
800-636-1067. Call us on the MGM National Harbor
Open Line Friday.
So you want to do a quick poll?
Who's a bigger name? Riddick
There's
Bowe
your poll for the day,
or right Dwayne Bowe.
We already did the poll for the day.
Now,
hold on. That was
another one.
That was not the question.
What is the question?
The question that you posed was when I say Bowe, what's the
who do
like,
you think of?
Like what's the first
right
athlete you think of?
Okay,
that was the question.
Okay.
Not well, who's more popular, okay. Riddick Bowe.
Well,
Dwayne
it kind of goes hand in hand. Well, I think the first name you would think of would be the most famous one.
All right, when you said Bowe, I said Dwayne Bowe.
Right,
but if
Dwayne
I had,
Bowe,
if I saw Riddick Bowe and Dwayne Bowe,
right.
I would say, well, Riddick Bowe's more pop,
yeah.
more well known.
Yeah, but Cakes believes Dwayne Bowe's more well known.
I think he is. Maybe it's a flimsy
even
argument.
Though you agreed with him in the first question, he thinks in his world,
yeah.
Dwayne Bowe is more recognized and recognizable. Than Riddick Bowe.
I do think that. Maybe I'm just warped by being.
Do you think one person outside of the United States
yeah.
knows who Dwayne Bowe is?
That's a good question. I know that not a lot of people outside of the U.S. know who Riddick Bowe is.
Oh, really? They don't yeah. know the heavyweight champion of the world.
I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess. You could walk. But this is a dumb argument, granted. But you could walk down a street in Thailand with a big poster of Dwayne Bowe and a big poster of Riddick Bowe. And you know what? Nobody's going to know who either of them are.
He fought in the Olympics. Okay, he fought Evander Holyfield, fought Andrew Golota.
Yeah, Dwayne Bowe caught a billion balls for the Chiefs back in the day on national TV.
Wasn't Riddick Bowe part of the fight that had the parachute guy?
Oh,
what do they call him? Landman or whatever they call him?
Fan man.
Was he in that fight? I think it was Holyfield and
Bowe.
Was Bowe in that
fight? Pretty sure.
I don't know. Dwayne Bowe. More popular.
All right, let's go to the calls.
I'm going to die on that hill. I might die on the hill because we're right in Riddick's backyard.
You might get some donks to back you up. Right, doesn't mean you're right.
Let's go to James. James, you're on with the Junks.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
I think you and Valdez are going to die alone on the Dwayne Bowe Hill.
Okay.
Nobody on the earth thinks Dwayne Bowe, a Jag receiver, is more popular than a former heavyweight champion of the world.
Jag. He was actually pretty good. He's not like a Hall of Famer, but he was a pretty good player. All right, so
it wouldn't matter if he was a Hall of Famer. He's still not more popular than the heavyweight champion of the world.
All right.
I mean, well, Riddick Bowe was heavyweight champion of the world for, what, 5 minutes? probably for 5 years.
Dwayne Bowe nestled in between all-time receiving yards in between Jared Cook and Daryl Jackson.
Wow, what a stud.
Oh, crap. Right. Why are you killing my argument, man?
All right, it's 1-0
Riddick. You're pushing my vibe over here. All right, let's go to Jason. Everybody wants to call in about the Bowe controversy. Jason, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, guys. This isn't even close. Riddick Bowe by a mile.
All right.
I guess I'm losing this one.
I think you're going to lose it. Sorry, Cakesy.
All right, thank you, Jason.
I'm sure his fights against Andrew Golota weren't famous when Golota gave him the low blows.
I mean, maybe in somebody's world. Not in my world, they weren't. Let's go to Dave. Dave, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Please,
Riddick.
Please say Dwayne Bowe.
Riddick. All right, Riddick. Please help.
Thank you for the integrity from the callers.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave, I guess. He must have been on Cakes.
Let's go to our friend D Woods calling in from the ATL.
D.
What's up, D?
Fellas, this is a no-brainer. It's Riddick Bowe. I mean, it's not even close. I had the same response that Drab had when you said Dwayne Bowe. It took me like 2 seconds. I was like, "Who's Dwayne Bowe?" So, no, it's definitely going to be Riddick.
Okay. And don't you believe? Look, you can. These guys are trying to make the argument that boxing is dying or dead. That's fine. But when he was heavyweight champion was kind of during the Tyson Holyfield era, it was big.
I was going to say, I think people our age would probably say Riddick more than a younger person, but boxing was major back then. I just can't believe you would even say that, Kate. It's not even close.
Hey, so sometimes you have to have a little bit of a different opinion, D. You know that. You know how this thing works.
Love you guys.
All right. Thanks, D. Appreciate that. I mean, Dwayne Bowe had a scintillating 7,208 yards receiving. That's pretty good. That's pretty solid. Again, it's not Hall of Fame, but he's Hall of at least good. I don't know.
Hall of decent.
I don't even know if he's Hall of really good.
Hall of decent.
I know Dwayne Bowe was never selling out Madison Square Garden and Caesar's Palace.
Not on his own, but he was helping to sell out Arrowhead Stadium last time I checked.
Yeah, nobody was paying to see Dwayne Bowe.
Let's go to Ben. Ben, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, 10 minutes ago was the first time I'd ever heard the name Riddick Bowe in my life.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you got one then. Had you heard of Dwayne Bowe?
I'll take one sympathy vote.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Everybody knows Dwayne Bowe.
Hold on, wait, he's doing a bit. Are you a Chiefs fan? Like, are you a hardcore Kansas City Chiefs fan? Is that why you're calling?
Not even a little bit. No. Mm.
Okay. Everybody knows Dwayne Bowe. Where did he go to college?
LSU.
LSU. Everybody knows that.
I was asking him because I believe he's doing a bit.
Everybody knows he went to LSU. Come on, guys.
I wonder if Dwayne Bowe has any money left.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Who did Dwayne Bowe finish his career with?
Which quarterback?
No. What team?
Oh, I looked at it. I can't participate. Cleveland.
Yep.
So unremarkable.
So he played, 8 or 9 years with Kansas City and then won with
Cleveland? Let's sneak in Tom Turley real
quick.
Dwayne
Bowe doesn't even make your Hall of Very Good.
He makes Hall of Good. Tom, what's up?
Hall of Mediocre.
Tom, you're on.
Tom Turley.
Couldn't do it. Okay, that was your EP. I hope it was entertaining.
How'd you feel about the poll, Cakes? You did get one vote.
I mean, I don't feel great about it. I don't feel great about my position. But I do know that in my world, in this sphere, Dwayne Bowe, greater than sign, greater than Riddick sign. Bowe. And I'm never moving off that position ever.
I'm a big, much bigger football fan than boxing. Yeah. I like boxing a half out of 10.
Right.
But I still have to say.
You gave it a half.
I still have to say Riddick Bowe is a bigger
name. Okay. All right. Thanks. Sorry. Thanks for the support.
But I like.
I appreciate
it. I'd much rather watch Dwayne Bowe.
Of course you would. You'd rather watch Dwayne Bowe limp around in a retirement home than watch Riddick Bowe.
Correct.
All right, don't forget, coming up later, Kevin McCarthy is going to join us at 9:45. He'll tell you what to see at the movies this weekend.
All right, we got Kevin talk movies and the Academy Awards on Sunday, right?
That is correct, yes.
I think I'm 0-for on all of the Academy movies this year.
You haven't seen one?
I don't think so.
Hold on, I have to pull up the list now.
Last movie I saw was Juror Number 2. Is that nominated?
No chance.
I didn't see Anora. I didn't see The Brutalist.
I'm kind of intrigued by Anora, but haven't seen it yet.
I don't know that you've seen any of them.
I have seen at least one. I saw really? Wicked. Oh, okay. That's nominated for Best Picture. Let's see. Brutalist, no chance. Complete Unknown, don't care that much about Bob Dylan. Conclave, bunch of priests running around.
Drab saw it, liked it.
I've heard it's very good. Dune Part 2. Sorry, Dune is not for me. It is not my thing. I couldn't care less about Dune. Amelia Perez, don't know anything about it. I'm Still Here. No, I'm not. Haven't seen it. Nickel Boys, I've heard, is very good. The Substance, that's one I think I would see because it's Demi Moore in like a body horror
seen it.
Pick.
Seen it.
What'd you think?
It's okay. He just says,
It's hard. It's hard to describe.
Okay.
It's kind of like a sneaky good horror movie.
It's like freaky. It's weird.
Yes, it's definitely freaky.
Hmm.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm batting 1-for-10.
You see Demi.
You're killing me for watching none of them.
And the one that
you saw The Wizard of Oz.
The one prequel. I saw is the most popcorny, like mainstream movie out of the 10 that were nominated by far.
Yeah,
like that's. I mean, from what I can tell, that and Dune are the only two that made any sort of real money. Like all these others are smaller films, limited release. They're not like. Big budget.
You're just a big Ariana Grande.
TV's not Grande, here. Right? I don't know how to say her name. That whole bit.
So give me the plot of The Substance.
She's an actress. Valdez can tell you, but she's an actress who's older.
She's an older actress who's kind of like getting phased out of Hollywood.
Right.
And then she discovers this medical procedure where she can split into two, and the other person is a younger, better version of herself. But each person needs the other person in order to live. And they have to end up feeding off of each other. Oh. And then they end up wanting to keep their lives going. So one overdoes it. Gotcha. And then when you do that, you take away from the other person. And then it's a whole thing at the end.
Okay.
So you gave it what, like a 3.5?
Out of 5?
Yeah.
How many crab claws?
I get a 3.5. 3.5 is a good one. Okay. It's close to a 4. I would go 3.75.
Okay.
The Substance.
It's split the difference.
Yeah.
Hey, so we're talking about all these teams that need quarterbacks and the NFL. Right now, it's rumor mill with where's Matthew Stafford going to end? Mm-hmm. What are the Rams going to do? And we know that, at least according to experts, there aren't that many good quarterbacks in this draft, at least as compared to last year. Probably only two guys drafted in the first round. They may not even been guys who would have been picked in the first round a year ago. In Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. One guy who's getting some interest, who did get a lot of buzz at the combine last year, is Joe Milton. Hmm. Should teams roll the dice on Joe Milton, who at the combine, I think he threw the ball the fastest. Mm-hmm. He maybe threw the ball the furthest. Like there are videos of him. He's a huge dude.
He's like 6'5".
He's a big dude.
I think he's 240.
Yeah.
He played in one game last year for the Patriots.
Yep.
And the Patriots, obviously, they drafted Drake May last year. He looked good. Drake May is their quarterback of the future.
Right.
Quarterback of the present, too. He's the quarterback of the future. So there's no reason to have Milton on the squad, especially if other teams are interested in him. In Milton's one game last year, he had 241 yards passing, put up two total touchdowns in a win against the Bills.
Right. Look, if you're...
are there teams reportedly interested in him.
Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal said that trade speculation has surged around the 24-year-old quarterback.
Okay. All right.
I would say
I wouldn't mind just bringing him in to battle for, if you just had a question mark at starter and just kind of bring him in to battle for the number one spot, but I wouldn't assume he's going to be the number one guy.
No, but at worst, he's worth a flyer.
Yeah.
Like with the traits he has, his physicality, the fact that he's 6'5", 245.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the rap on him is huge rocket arm, just not very accurate.
Correct.
Although he had a 48-yard touchdown pass that was a dime.
Now,
I know it's just one pass, and everybody can make a pass, but I almost was thinking this. I might rather have Joe Milton than Anthony Richardson. Like, I've seen enough of Anthony Richardson to think he's not going to work out.
If I'm the Colts, if you're the Colts, why wouldn't you call the Patriots about, we'll send you a fifth-round pick for Joe Milton?
Why do you think the Colts are going to give up on Richardson?
I don't think they're going to give up on him, but they've been
public. This might be the final year,
They've been public about saying, we're bringing somebody in to compete with Anthony Richardson.
Right.
So they're definitely not sold on him. I don't know whether they're ready to punch him away.
I can't imagine they are.
But, I mean, how could you be sold on Anthony Richardson?
He can't complete a pass. Yeah.
Right. So
he can run, but he can't complete a pass.
I'm a little bit intrigued by Milton's skill set. Like, if you feel like you can harness that big arm and make him a more accurate passer, you might have something to work with there. And the fact
he's
a tank, he's going to run you over in the open field.
The problem with Milton, and Drabby, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but he played a lot of years in college, but he didn't play a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was basically a backup for most of those years, except for his final year.
He's a project.
Yeah, so at Tennessee, his final year at Tennessee, he was a starter, but Michigan for 2 or 3 years, he was a backup.
Do you know how many total career touchdowns he had in college? Passing?
I'm going to guess.
I have no idea.
28.
37.
Okay.
In 6 seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and so his final season, and he also had 7 rushing touchdowns that year.
So he's seen a lot from the sideline. He just hasn't played a lot of college football. But anyway, but he's a physical freak.
He had 21 starts in college. I mean, he doesn't have like a Jaden Daniels resume in college, obviously. Right. But
most of those were his last year,
right?
But yeah, you're right. I mean, with Anthony Richardson, maybe there's another team that says, you know, we got to look at him because of his size and the strength of his arm. But I mean, he would have to really, really impress you.
But his resume, collegiately, like I brought up Anthony Richardson, who. This will be year 3 for him with Indy, who was drafted, I think, mostly on potential.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Milton had more touchdown passes than Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson finishes collegiate career with 24 touchdown passes.
Well, yeah, but he didn't play nearly as long. So,
and he'll be given more of an opportunity based on where he was drafted.
Yeah, but what's that tell you
maybe
about?
Maybe he shouldn't have been drafted that high.
What's that tell you about Joe Milton? So in 6 years, he could only earned the number one spot in his last year.
It gets me nervous. He was in Michigan for what, 3 seasons? Who was starting over him?
Well, McCarthy for one of them at least. And then, I don't know, Cade McNamara, was he there?
He
just couldn't win the starting job.
Chris Ballard, who's the GM of the Colts, he better hope that Anthony Richardson makes a big leap during the offseason and looks like a legitimate top 15 quarterback in the league.
I mean, he can run.
If he doesn't add the passing element to his obvious rushing skills,
right?
You can't keep trotting him out there with like his low completion percentage and the fact that he just misses wide open guys, especially on the short and intermediate passes. Like, he can throw a ridiculous 60-yard bomb to people, but then he can't hit somebody that's 8 yards out in the flat. Like, it's a weird skill set. The way it diverges, where he's so good at the deep ball, but has trouble with the routine throws.
Yeah.
Like, he has to get better at that, or he's not going to have a very long future in the league.
I mean, nowadays, guys are tickling 75% in completion percentage.
Right.
70% was right around where Jaden Daniels finished.
As a rookie. Yeah, he did that.
In his second season this year with the Indianapolis Colts, Anthony Richardson completed 47.7% of his passes.
I would look at box scores, like, in the game, and he'd be like 5 for 18 for like 60 yards passing.
8 TDs, 12 picks.
Like, you're not a salvageable asset if those are your numbers.
Now, he can run.
Yeah, but you need to be able to do both. You can't just be able to run. Like, you have to have at least mediocre passing game to pair with it.
All right, so McCarthy might have come in the year he transferred to Tennessee. So Cade McNamara beat out Milton for at least two of those years, and then Shea Patterson might have been right before him. Mm-hmm. So he couldn't beat out Shea Patterson or Cade McNamara.
Yeah, it doesn't give you great confidence. I'm just saying that if you're a team, you might give him, you know,
give him an
I don't know what you do. You trade a six-round pick for him? I don't think it would take that much to acquire Joe Milton, and you give him a shot.
I would agree.
And if, you know, the Colts invested a lot more by drafting Anthony Richardson high, but my point is Richardson's resume is not really any different than Joe Milton's, other than he's younger.
Yeah, I mean, he just didn't play as much in college. Milton was around the game for a lot longer.
And but, maybe things are going to swing back where...
But that, you know, that shows you how desperate some of these teams are.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe things are going to swing back where you see less, at least a quarterback, of reaching based on arm strength and some of these things. Mm-hmm. And Jaden Daniels, look, has it all, but had the experience of 56 games.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is big. Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens here in the next couple of weeks in free agency, and then obviously when the draft comes. But it'll be interesting to see how the quarterbacks look in the combine.
And this Stafford thing, they say, might go down this weekend.
It's possible. I don't get it, really. I don't understand why the Rams are so interested in trading for him, other than the money. Like, what is their plan beyond mm-hmm. Stafford?
Yeah, there aren't a lot of great options.
Because it's not like they've
there.
Got a young stud that they drafted.
No.
And, you know, in the first two or three rounds on the roster, I mean, unless you think Stetson Bennett is that guy, I mean, he's not.
Maybe they're in on Sam Darnold.
Don't know.
That could be a possibility.
It's a good question.
Kirk could be a possibility. You know who else? Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers could land in L.A. Well, I don't love it.
That's such a short term move.
That'd be a big dud.
Okay, but
I feel like McVay would want a more, you know, longer term move.
You'd much rather have, you know, a Stafford for the next two or three years than Aaron Rodgers for one.
I don't love the idea of plugging in Aaron Rodgers. I'm just giving you guys a few
possibilities,
ideas of who might wind up there.
No, I got you.
If Stafford gets dealt.
I can't remember if they crossed paths. Did McVay ever coach with Kevin O'Connell?
Did they cross paths here in D.C.? I think they were on the same staff.
Yeah,
so maybe he's like, hey, Kevin O'Connell speaks highly of Darnold.
Right.
We can get him for cheaper than Stafford.
But not a lot cheaper. I mean, you're going to pay Sam Darnold $40 million.
Right, but he's still, look, apparently Stafford wants this extension with like $100 million guaranteed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe they're like, we don't want to do that. We'll take Darnold a little bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who can be here 5 years from now, because Stafford's probably not going to.
Can you wrap your head around, like, if we went back a year or a year and a half, that Sam Darnold would be inking a deal worth $40 million per season?
That's crazy.
Like, I mean,
when he was a complete dud.
You bet on his success, credit.
I thought he would do well in O'Connell's system. I didn't think he would put up the numbers that he did. Like, that's why it was a bold prediction. Like, okay, you throw it out there, you don't expect it to happen, and he exceeded the weird numbers
it was a great
that
fit.
I threw out there. Yeah, it just shows you that McCarthy's potential with O'Connell pulling the strings should be pretty high.
Like, yeah, but it'll be interesting to see what they do with Darnold.
I think they're just going to let. I mean, I don't think they want to spend $40+ million on Sam Darnold in Minnesota.
It doesn't make sense to do that, but they probably didn't think he was going to put up those type of numbers either.
You said it before, Cakes. It's awesome that in Washington, they don't have to be in on any of these conversations for quite a long time.
Adam Peters just kicks his feet up, doesn't worry about quarterback for at least a decade, which is...
Well, they'll have to sign him. Well, they'll have to give him a monster contract
at some point. Of course they're going to sign him. Mm-hmm. I mean...
But they got 3 years to do that.
Valdez is raising his eyebrow. You think they're not going to throw giant sacks of money at Jaden Daniels?
What if he wants $500 million fully guaranteed?
Well,
they'll do it. It'll be like the Lamar Jackson Baltimore situation. He will not leave the franchise.
Whatever he wants, he's going to get.
Yeah.
Here in Washington.
Coming up next, we will talk movies and the Academy Awards with our pal Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5, next here on The Junkies. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's our pal Kevin McCarthy, Fox 5 entertainment reporter. Hey, Kevin.
Good morning, John Paul Flame, Jason Bishop, and Johnny Cakes Auville. And
hello.
Drab and Matt Valdez. How you guys all doing?
Hello.
Doing good, man. I don't even know what you call it on Instagram. I retweeted. I put up your picture there with Ryan Reynolds, and I'm not sure who the other guy is because you hosted or you moderated a show with Ryan Reynolds, and you can fill me in on who the other guy is. He's not Ryan Reynolds. How'd that go?
Oh, Sean. Yeah, so Sean Levy. Sean is awesome. So yeah, so like I've Sean Levy. I was in Yale University on a couple days ago. So. Sean Levy, the director, he did films like Night at the Museum. He did Date Night. He did Cheaper by the Dozen. He did Deadpool, Wolverine, Free Guy, The Adam Project. So he's an alum of Yale, and he and Ryan asked me to come to Yale to help moderate a conversation about their collaborations. They've done three films in the last 6 years together, and all of them were like major, massive hits. They've made like $1.6 billion worldwide globally. They're three films that they've made. And their movie, The Adam Project, was like the third most watched movie ever on Netflix. And so I guess Yale wanted to do, you know, a celebration of Sean's career, and Ryan joined him, and then we turned it into this collaboration conversation about why their collaboration works so well. And I was just honored to be a part of it. I'd never been to Yale. Just what an incredible campus. I mean, I'm trying to think, it's the only Ivy League school I've ever visited. And so, you know, I went to George Mason, which I absolutely loved, but this was, you know, to go to a school that's been around for as long as Yale has, it was just kind of an interesting experience. And we had 2,700 people there. Mm-hmm. It was great. We did like an hour and a half, and we played clips of their movies, and Deadpool Wolverine obviously was their most recent one. So it just crushes when you show clips of that. It was great. I've done a couple events with Ryan and Sean. We did one in December in LA with Hugh Jackman as well, and it was just fun. And it was funny. Hugh Jackman sent in a video for us because I had to just commemorate the evening. It was a lot of fun.
All right, so not to make this all a big time thing, but JP, we played the clip recently of Josh Brolin saying that he received your text message about Timothy Chalamet's performance. Mm. How many people, was that the only guy you texted about Chalamet's performance? Because we speculated, like, is he sending like a group text to see which stars respond?
No, I mean, Josh and I, I've known Josh Brolin for a few years because we started doing interviews on Sicario. Out of all the people that I interview, generally speaking, I'm not friends with really, you know, with like all the actors that I talk to, even though in the interviews it might seem like that. But Brolin and I, like we had a funny interview years ago for that movie Sicario. We kind of connected since then, so we exchanged numbers and we chatted it off.
Look at you. You guys are fast friends.
So was he the only one you texted about Chalamet's performance, the only famous person?
Yeah, well, the reason is because Josh knows Timothée Chalamet because they worked in Dune together.
Gotcha.
We were chatting about the movies of the year. And I was like, have you seen this performance yet? It's incredible. And he hadn't seen it. And so the video that you played was Josh at a film festival hosting a conversation similar to what I just did with Ryan and Sean at Yale, just kind of commemorating Chalamet's career. And I had no idea that he was going to bring up that text message because I had texted him that, I don't know, probably back in December before I interviewed Timothy Chalamet for the movie where he plays Bob Dylan. And I was just telling Josh how much I thought the performance was incredible. And I guess Josh wanted to use that in the question that he was asking Chalamet at the event. And yeah, I had no idea that I found the video and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And it was just nice that he brought me up in front of him. So,
all right,
yeah,
So we only got a couple minutes. I know you want to talk about the Academy Awards, and I don't know if you read my text I sent you a few minutes ago. I said, assign one of the Academy Award movies to each of us. Like, this is a Cakes movie, this is a Bish movie, this is a JP movie.
Hold on,
because
we have to watch it?
No, Cakes went through this. And he's seen one out of the 10 movies nominated for an Academy Award. I'm 0-for. Jason is 0-for. Which movies are for us?
Well, I think the movie that across the board everyone needs to see is Anora. I don't know why you guys haven't seen Anora yet. We're
ignoring it.
Yeah, good one.
Guys, I'm telling you, you will love this movie. So the concept of the film. So we're talking about the Oscars because the Oscars are coming up Sunday. I'm really excited.
I know the plot already because you've explained it 9 times. A woman falls in love. Yes. Is it a Russian oligarch's son? And they get married.
Right.
And then the family hates her. And you could take it from there.
She's like a porn star.
I don't know if she's a porn star or not.
Mikey Madison's a sex worker, a stripper, so she is in a club and she meets this son of a Russian oligarch and they get married and the Russian the son of a Russian oligarch and the Russian family comes over to have the marriage annulled. And it's this insane, intense, comedic ride. And it's brilliant. And Mikey Madison is incredible. So,
that one's for all of us, but I'm giving you a hard task and it's on the fly of the rest of the movies. Give me one for Cakes that you believe is a Cakes fit.
If you say Dune Part 2, we're no longer friends.
Give us the Lurch picture and one for me.
I mean, I think Jason's movie is Anora. I think JP, I think your movie is probably, I'm telling you, it's Anora across the board. I mean,
you love Anora.
You know, Cakes needs to see The Substance. Cakes needs to see The Substance.
I will commit. Awesome. I will watch The Substance. Yeah. It's soon.
It's kind of a low key horror movie, and I know how Cakes loves his horror.
I think Kevin's is the brutalist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, the brutalist is incredible. So the Oscars are Sunday. Jason, we always do this every year with the Oscars. I don't follow betting, but I always found this to be an interesting thing where I would give my prediction and you would tell me how it lines up with where people are betting. Because I don't follow
betting.
I've
only got like 2 minutes. So give us your best picture. Is it Anora?
All right. So I'll just go through this real fast.
Yeah. I'll give you the odds on whatever movie you like.
Okay, I think best picture right now is going to be between Anora and Conclave. So Conclave won the SAG award on, which is a very big indicator that it could win best picture. So the three best picture really front runners are Brutalist, Anora, and Conclave.
Correct.
I'm going to argue that Anora is probably the front runner right now for best picture, but Conclave is probably super close to it, but I'm going to give the edge to Anora because Anora won a lot of precursor awards at the DGA and the PGA.
All right, you nailed that. Anora is a minus 200, Conclave plus 225.
All right, best actor.
They are top two.
Is this Chalamet? Wow.
Actor is interesting. So this is going to be, I have no idea how the betting odds work, but from a voting perspective, Chalamet won SAG, but Adrian Brody has been winning a lot of the awards leading into that. I'm going to argue that Chalamet is the front runner right now, but it's probably very close between him and Adrian Brody.
It's very close, but Brody is the favorite.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Okay. And then actress, I'm going to argue my prediction to win is Demi Moore. She probably has a very a big favorite over everybody, but Mikey Madison, I think, is the secondary choice. I'm going to predict Demi Moore, but I want Mikey to win. But I think those are the two that you're probably seeing in terms of frontrunners.
You nailed that. Best supporting actress, and the only reason I'm asking this is because the favorite, overwhelming favorite, probably going to win it, is one of my favorite actresses. She was in Lioness.
Zoe Saldana is the favorite for that.
Correct.
Yeah.
And she's beautiful.
Amelia Perez. Yeah. And I haven't seen Lioness. I need to see that. And then supporting actor, there's no way anybody's near Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain.
Minus 3,500. Correct.
He was awesome in Succession.
Where are you seeing? Are these like LA? Are these Vegas numbers? Like, where are these?
VegasInsider.com, my friend. That's what I'm on right now. I just punched it up.
And then director, I'm going to argue right now the favorite is probably, I'm going to predict Brady Corbet for The Brutalist, but Sean Baker is probably right near for Anora.
Sean Baker is the favorite slightly over Brady
Corbet. All right,
Corbet.
Kevin, congrats on all your success.
See
congrats on losing with Ryan Reynolds, and enjoy the Academy Awards.
All right, I love you guys, and go watch Anora. It's the best movie of the year.
See ya.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
All right, see you
Have
guys.
A good weekend.
Bye.
And you can tell us the plot description again next week.
No, I've had...
He loves to tell the Anora plot description.
We know the Anora story. We get it. We're totally dialed in.
Are you intrigued by Anora? Out of the rest of the movies, you've seen Wicked that are nominated.
I would say
Anora
and The Substance are next on the list for me to see.
Substance.
All right, we got to hook up the callers right now with some tickets to go see Dierks Bentley. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with two tickets. Broken Branches Tour Friday, July 11th, Jiffy Lube Live. Special guest Zach Top and band Lula. Tickets on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. We're out of here. B. Mitch and Finley up next on The Fan.